Psalm 22 and verse number 20. Psalm 22 is a preview of Calvary. Verse number 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Please keep your Bible handy. We'll read some other verses during the course of the message. A preview of Calvary. Most of you know that Psalm chapter 22 is the great crucifixion chapter of the Old Testament. It's all about Jesus. Psalm 22 is a photograph of Jesus Christ written 1,000 years in advance. One writer said that this psalm drips with the ruby blood of redemption. We just want to take another look tonight at the cross. You say, I think I've heard that before. Well, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Here's the details of the sufferings of Christ long before crucifixion was practiced by the Romans. Verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We recognize that as our Lord's utterance from the cross, his fourth utterance from the cross at the noon hour. The anguish of the cross is unspeakable. In fact, they had to invent a new word to describe it. Excruciating was the word that had to be invented to describe the pain of crucifixion. Excruciating, you've heard that word. It means pain so great that words cannot describe it. So we want to look for a little bit at the blackness and the bleakness and the torture and the suffering and the shame and the bitterness of the cross. Physically, mentally, spiritually. The cup that Jesus had to drink was very bitter indeed. You know from reading the Gospels that our Lord Jesus was throughout his entire life in public ministry. Though he was loved by some, he was widely rejected. He was despised and hated and opposed. No wonder the psalm has the title that it does. An inscription, Ageleth Shahar. Do you see that? Psalm 22 then says to the chief musician upon Ageleth Shahar. That means the hind of the morning. The hind, the deer. Of the morning, Jesus is God's hind, God's deer. He was always being hunted down. How many occasions they tried to entrap him in his words, plotted his death. Jesus, God's hind, was always being hunted by the lions and the dogs of devils and of men, so they're described in this chapter. The Lord Jesus could say, they hated me. For no reason. John 15, they hated me without a cause. You would think for just a moment, wouldn't you, if somebody was perfect, that he'd be loved and accepted and praised, wouldn't you? But that was not the case. And that wouldn't be the case today. Because mankind has not changed a bit. I'm just going to hit a few highlights of this chapter. It's going to take forever to plumb the depths of this chapter. I'll just say a few things. Verse 2 refers to the night season. That reminds us that when Jesus was on the cross, there was a night season, even though it was during the day, 9 in the morning till 3 o'clock in the evening. But at the noon hour, there was a darkness over the whole land until 3 o'clock, a 3-hour supernatural darkness over the whole land recorded in the Bible, mentioned by historians and by the other nations. Why? Was there this darkness during the middle of the day? The Bible doesn't tell us why. Perhaps because God the Father would not allow the eyes of wicked men to behold the sufferings of his Son. As the author said, well might the Son in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. There was darkness over the whole land at the height of our Lord's sufferings. In verse 6, Jesus identifies with the worm when he says, I am a worm and no man. We remember the Jews obtained their red dye from a worm. In fact, this is the same word that's usually rendered scarlet in the Bible, or crimson sometimes. And we know that this worm that produced the red dye did an unusual thing. The mother would affix her body to a tree. Now hear me now. Affix her body to a tree. And she would die there just after she gave birth to her young. And the tree would be covered with blood, her blood. And she'd be covered with blood. And her young would all be covered with blood. It was a scene of blood. This worm died, given birth, and was covered in blood. Maybe, and you've heard sermons on that, and maybe that's why Jesus says, I'm a worm, reminding us of his own precious shed blood. You remember when Mary anointed him with the spikenard? It was red in color, and she poured it on his head, and there for just a little bit. But before he ever went to the cross, Jesus appeared to be covered in red. Just like he would be when he died on the cross. Death on a tree, that's him. The shedding of blood, that's him. The ultimate sacrifice, that's him. To give life, that's him. You say, what a coincidence. Oh, bro, I don't believe in coincidence. You can't be a Christian believing luck, accidents, or coincidence. Amen. You know, the British Navy for years in all their ropes, they would thread inside of their ropes a thin red cord. It was for identification, for one thing, and for ownership. There was a red cord threaded in the middle. And folks, you can't read this Bible without seeing that the Holy Ghost has threaded a red cord. Hallelujah. Throughout the entire Word of God, symbolizing the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, folks. The blood is in way back there when God killed an innocent animal and clothed, guess who? Adam and Eve. And it's the blood all the way to the book of Revelation, and we're singing and shouting in heaven about the blood. It's all about the blood. Anything without blood's dead anyway, isn't it? We stand at the cross for a few moments tonight. We watch and we listen. What are they saying? What are they doing? Sadly, we hear a bunch of mockery. I hear chief priests, Pharisees, Sadducees. I hear scribes mocking and laughing and ridiculing. Jesus says in verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Is that not what they said when Jesus was on the cross? If you're really the Son of God, why don't you ask God to get you down? And is that what the thieves said at the beginning? You're God's Son? Well, save thyself and us. But I'm glad he didn't come down and he did not save himself. And the reason that he did not save himself is so he could save you and so he could save me. They didn't understand. It was in their ignorance that they were mocking and laughing and ridiculing. Look at all these details of crucifixion. Bones out of joint. Bleeding. Every breath, an act of torture. Well, the victim would have to push down upon his feet to lift himself up to breathe in and out. And that's why our Lord's sayings were so few and so brief, because of the torture of just saying a few words. Just every breath, torture. There's probably no worse way to be executed than the slow, painful, excruciating death by crucifixion. It was a public execution, folks. On a skull-shaped heel. Jesus says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Verse 16. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Verse 17. Jesus could see his bones. And what an assembly was there that day. They're described. I'm not going to read it. I don't have time to read it. But they're described as bulls and lions and dogs. You see, it wasn't just people that was there. It was the Satan himself and all his hordes. But our Lord's hour had come at last, and the world was watching. And demons were dancing, and women were crying, and angels were covering their faces. Do you see the broken heart of Jesus? Do you see his pierced limbs? Do you see his thorn-crowned brow? Do you see his wrenched bones and his scourged back? Do you see his parted garments and his marred visage? You wouldn't have recognized him. Isaiah 52 says, you wouldn't have recognized him. You say, that sure is ugly. Oh, it sure is pretty. Sure is sweet. Sure is amazing. You know the story, don't you? The mother wore the gloves. Her hands are terribly burned in a fire. And the son said, Mama, why you wear them gloves? Son, you don't want to see my hands. They're disfigured. They're burned. And then one day he said, Mama, what happened? You never told me what happened. Well, when you were young, there was a fire. And we thought you were going to burn up. And I ran into your room and I saved your life. But my hands were so terribly burned by the fire. I wear these gloves all the time. I want to see your hands, Mama. She pulled off the gloves and saw those burned, scarred, disfigured hands and said, Mama, those are the most beautiful hands I've ever seen. And when I look at Jesus on the cross, shedding every drop of that rich, red, royal, redeeming blood for a wretch like me, I say, those are beautiful hands. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Oh, the fevered lips. For he says, I'm poured out like water, verse 14. All my bones are out of joint. My heart's like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. The indescribable thirst. Jesus experienced not just physical thirst, but the thirst of hell, so we'd never have to. You say, what's happening here? God's punishing Jesus instead of punishing you. That's what's happening here. That knife of divine justice that ought to be plunged in my heart, Jesus said, Father, plunge it into my heart. I'll take it. I'll take it. You say, is that substitution? Hallelujah, that's substitution. That's vicarious. That's atoning. That's propitiatory. Thank God, whatever you want to say, let me make it simple. Jesus died for you. Jesus died in your place. That's not hard. That's my theology. Jesus died for me. That's love. It's precious here to see the Lord Jesus called my darling. Verse 20, that's the same word translated elsewhere as only begotten son. Jesus is God's only begotten son. John 3:16. Jesus is God's one and only. One of a kind. Nobody like him. Peerless, matchless, marvelous, incomparable, one of a kind. He is God's darling son. He's the only begotten. He's my darling. I like that. Did Jesus really die? Yes, he did. He's dead by the end of verse 21. But I want you please to notice that there's a verse 22. If that was the end of the story, we'd have to turn out the lights and lock the doors and never come back. But he didn't just suffer, bleed, and die, thank God. He was buried and he rose again by the power of his own might. That's why the theme suddenly changes at verse 22 to celebration. Because the work is done, the debt is paid, the victory is won. Amen. He is now the risen and ascended and exalted Lord. How interesting it is that in this verse 22 is the first time we find the verb praise in the Old Testament. Psalm 22:22. You say that's interesting. Folks, that's on purpose. Psalm 22:22 gives us the word praise. 22 is how many letters there are in the Hebrew alphabet. And that reminds us that the whole purpose of letters and language is to praise God. You say there's more letters than that in the English language. God ain't concerned about the English language. Folks are going to speak Hebrew forever. Get used to it. Amen. Read the Minor Prophets. Amen. Well, I didn't get much witness on that, but study it for yourself. I do know this. The purpose of language is to praise God. Why do you think you can talk? So you can praise God. Amen. That's the purpose of it. Psalm 22:22. Why is there praise here? Why is Jesus Christ saying, and Paul quotes this in Hebrews 2, verse 12, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. That's Jesus talking. Why the praise? Because he just conquered sin and death. What's all the hallelujahs about? What's all the rejoicing about? Well, the law of God has just been vindicated, honored. It's just been magnified, and the love of God has just been displayed. Folks, there is no greater exhibition and platform of the love of God than Jesus Christ dying on the cross for a world of Adam's lost race, brother. That's the ultimate picture of the love of God. God's justice is satisfied. His holiness is glorified. The devil's plumb terrified and I'm plumb justified. Hallelujah. No wonder that, and as we come to this final paragraph, that it reads like a coronation. No wonder there's the ring of universal dominion here, and talking about everybody in the whole wide world, all the ends of the earth, all the kindreds of the nations. Verse 27, what Jesus Christ has done is to be declared to the whole world. It's the greatest news that's ever been told. Let it be told to one and all, Jew and Gentile, and all the kindreds and nations and peoples. They're all to love Jesus and worship him now and forevermore in grateful adoration. Nobody could enter into his suffering, but everybody can enter into the triumph that he won for us. When I read these last verses, it seems to me that Jesus is going to rule this world one of these days. He didn't intend to do that the first time. That wasn't his mission. They tried to make him a king in John 6, and he said, not now. I've come as the lamb this time, but I'll be back next time as the lion. I'll be back to take over. It won't be a crown of thorns next time either. And his rule will never cease. Amen. His name, his fame, they'll never cease. The closing phrase here, of this chapter is, quote, that he hath done this. That he hath done, accomplished this. That's the Hebrew equivalent of John 19:30, where Jesus said, it is finished. He didn't say, by the way, I'm finished. He said, it. The work that he came to do is finished. And when he said it is finished, that was just the beginning. Thank God for you and for me. Jesus didn't come to leave something half done. Well, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. Is it not an amazing thing that we're the ones responsible for his death? We were there. Our sins were there. We might as well have been there in person. It would not have made any difference whatsoever. As far as how many of our sins were put on Jesus, they were all put on him that day. We were there for all practical purposes. We were there. We are responsible for his death. But we also are the fruit of this travail. Why did he do it? For the joy set before him. Why did he do it? Because he looked down the quarter of time and he saw you and he saw me. We're the fruit. We're the spoils of this conquest. You and I, we're the benefactors of his passion. We're the sinners that he loved unto sweat, blood, and tears. You. Everything I've said tonight, everything I've said from the first word, he did it for you. We're his subjects. We're his seed, verse 30. As Larry Winkler said one time, God's going to fill up heaven with sinners. Good people don't get to go. You got to be a sinner that admits your lostness and come to Christ just as you are, and he saves you and he gets all the glory because he does it all. We're the seed, we're the trophy, we're the jewels. He doesn't have a trophy case. You're the trophy. He doesn't have jewels. What's a diamond to him? Nothing. He made them all. Folks, he's going to show us off one day. Jesus did not die for the angels, but he died for you. Hallelujah. He died for you. We're his jewels. We're the reason he came. We're the harvest he reaps. We're the recipients of grace. We're the purchase of blood. We're the prisoners set free. It's all for you. You're the sheep he came to seek and to save. Well, that's a preview of Calvary. I think it's an amazing thing that before there ever was a sinner, there was a Savior. Before there ever was a disease, the remedy was already provided. When I survey this wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such sorrow and love meet or thorns compose so rich a crown? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my God. All those vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. And were the whole rim of nature mine, that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my love, my all. That's an old love story. That makes men new. Amen. And I say with Paul, God forbid that I glory in anything else, save in the cross of Christ our Lord. We have no business, hear me tonight, we have no business glorying in anything else except the cross. Galatians 6:14. God forbid. We've got our focus sometimes our own place. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ our Lord. Years ago, there was a big earthquake. In Spain, it reached hundreds of miles away, reached all the way to Scotland, reached in the other direction. It was an incredible earthquake. When I read about that, I thought about when Jesus rose from the dead. Satan's empire collapsed. And the vibrations are still being felt 2,000 years later. The vibrations are still being felt all over the whole world. Amen. You'll never hear, I promise you one thing, you'll never hear the last of this story. Hallelujah. You'll never hear the last. Amen. I don't know why the Lord laid that on my heart, but He did. And I thank Him for another look at the cross. Let's come and pray tonight. God bless you. Pray for the lost. If you're not saved tonight,